Hello.
Hello, how are you folks tonight?
We're enjoying some Hopworks Winter Ritual Cold IPAs.
Some Hopworks gloriousness.
Yeah, some finely crafted brews skis here on the set. Can't help but want to just tell the people that we got some of the finest breweries here up here in the Pacific Northwest.
The Pacific Northwest is home to a vast and quality amount of
surplus.
What do you call it?
Intoxicating beverages.
No, microbrews.
Yeah, craft breweries.
Yeah. Craft breweries. Yeah,
not craft breweries, craft.
Crap.
Craft breweries. There is becoming a lot of breweries available out there, I have to say.
I want to name my brewery Crap.
Crap.
What are you drinking tonight, Crap?
Dude, I just had an idea about, like, Higginbotham Heights Brewery, dude.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's like, Higginbotham Heights? It's like, actually, like, sounds like it's, like, a really good brew.
It does.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, Higginbotham Heights, it's like, it's above the competition. It's high. High above the rest. That's our motto. High above the rest. Because we're like, high.
Nice. Yeah, because the motto. I like it.
Yeah, and you do a logo where it's just like an H and an H.
Yeah.
It's something like that. It's like, it's very, like, easy to assimilate to, you know, when you see it. You know what I mean?
Well, your brain instantly thinks it will must rhyme. What's a rhyme?
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, what are the words?
You naturally just feel like you need to know the rhyme.
You know what's actually interesting about your word Higginbotham is that in the Houston Astros Major League Baseball stadium,
yeah. They
have like just the word Higginbotham on their, like, the back of their,
No shit.
Yeah, like the home run area, you know, the fencing for the home run.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I've seen it there for years, so I think it's somebody that's related to you, dude.
Uh-huh.
I really do. Because that is such an uncommon word.
Is it spelled the same?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, it just says Higginbotham on there. It's like, it's a company, but it's like, and I was reading a book as well, like, by this guy who was, it was on Hinduism.
Oh.
Like, long time ago, I was, like, reading this book at Gonzaga's library, Thomas Foley Library.
Yeah.
And, the guy who wrote this book, his name was Higginbotham.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he was, like, super knowledgeable about, like, Hinduism. Like, he was, like, one of the best sources I've actually ever read on Hinduism in my life.
Oh,
dude.
Wow.
His book.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's just called Hinduism. And it just, yeah, it's one of the best books. Like, dude, Hinduism is such an in-depth religion, dude. It's insane, dude. It's fucking insane.
Well,
so deep, dude.
I just wonder where you get the desire for knowledge about the religion that's false.
Well, just actually, it's just really just understanding it, just so I can speak intellectually with people who are like,
other. So you know your shit.
I know my shit. Exactly, yes. And that's why I do it, and I do have a lot of knowledge, but a lot of that has to also do with, like, you have to understand, like, I was, like, mentored and kind of, like, almost raised to a degree by Doc Hagedis, dude, which was, like, the most culturally, like, I mean, he was, like, one of the first guys to, like, have a free Tibet sticker on his car I've ever seen, dude. I mean, Like, he was awesome, dude. And so he was, but they were, him and his wife were world travelers, and they were, he was my mentor, and he was your neighbor as well.
And he's dead now?
Oh, yeah, he died a long time ago, back when we were, like, 21, dude. But
fuck.
But he was always, like, every gift he ever gave me, dude, was always something from, like, some other civilization, or it was something that had, was ethnically, you know, it had something to do with learning about another culture or a book about it. I mean, it was just like, he was constantly trying to, like, you know, he wanted me to know.
Educate?
Yeah, he wanted me to know about Hinduism. He wanted me to, he mentored me to be that way. To be a Mason was really what he wanted me to be. But I've actually stepped it further with the Rosicrucian. Like, I've actually, like, gone above the Masonic into the Rosicrucian, which is the highest form of occultism, really. That's ultimately where I feel like Dr. Haggadus would have really wanted me to be, but, I mean, he was already establishing me enough, you know, like, but I feel like I went to actually further than he probably expected me to go.
Do you feel like you can be into this kind of stuff and still be good as a god?
Yeah, I think that, like, God gives the gift of knowledge, actually, and that's what I have. I have the gift of knowledge. Because, like, ultimately, my mentor, Doc Haggadus, like, he was the most, and he was also our neighbor right across the street.
Yeah.
And he was the most knowledgeable person I've ever met.
Oh.
And I just feel like he wanted me to be an illuminated in gnosis, in knowledge. And, you know, that's just really what I've done. And I believe that I've been led to the right areas of knowledge. And, you know, we got some great places, like, of knowledge here in Spokane where we live.
Yeah.
The Masonic Temple, it's a library, for one.
But we acknowledge that the Masons are also a false religion.
Yeah, it's another false religion, it is. Yep. But a lot of, they have a lot of knowledge that they're, because one of their main tenets is gnosis.
That's kind of the same thing as you just wanting to know the knowledge.
Well, I think that there's, it's not even wanting to know, it's feeling led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
Like, really, that's where I feel, ultimately, like, I've just been led by the Holy Spirit to these certain areas. Like, I remember I was actually, like, when I started going to Gonzaga's library and infiltrating, like, all their knowledge.
Yeah.
I was, like, actually with this pastor for a church, like, a young adults pastor.
Okay.
And we were trying to go to Gonzaga to put some kind of information about our, you know, young adults group at this church, you know? Do you kind of see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when I went into this, the Thomas Foley Library at Gonzaga, I just felt the Spirit said, you need to, like, start coming here.
And then they blocked you.
That was like, they blocked me, like, I would say probably maybe 10 years, dude.
Oh, wow.
10 years later, or like 5 to 10 years. Yeah, it was like 5 to 10 years. They tried to, like, kick me out of there.
So you can't go back there, or no,
I
what?
I can. I just wasn't there during community hours.
Oh.
So they kicked me out.
Oh.
But, I think that the question is did the Jesuits, like, know who I was? You know? Didn't know that I was, like, the grandson of Doc Haggadus. Because I'm going to tell you, they knew that Doc
Haggadus was. But it's not my blood.
Doesn't matter, though. I still was, like, taken in by Doc Haggadus at birth. And him and his wife. And became the heir to their royalty.
What is their royalty?
Transylvanian royalty and Hungarian royalty.
How how does that translate into riches?
Well, I do have the right to proclaim my connection to them as royalty. That's undeniable.
So what is I gonna get?
And you were, I don't know. You're my neighbor, too. You were living right next to Doc Haggadis and his wife. I can have all this validated through the VA hospital, too.
Nice.
So it's like, I have like a way, if someone doesn't believe me.
Yeah.
That I'm connected to Dracula. Go talk to the VA hospital. That's where Doc Haggadis worked. And he didn't have a very good reputation. By the way, he wasn't the nicest of doctors, you might say.
Did you do all the magic experiments in the basement of that place?
Yeah, potentially using vets.
On the way out anyways.
He was on the way out anyways, yes.
Let me do some experimenting.
Because no one was more qualified to do those experiments other than him. Because like I said, he was the most knowledgeable man I ever met in my life and ever will. Let me tell you all about it. Yeah, let me tell you about old Doc Haggadis. Yeah, love me some Doc Haggadis, man.
Just seems like they would have had a nicer place than a bungalow off of Disco Boulevard.
No, the thing is, at the time when they came to America from Bucharest, Romania, they like were literally the pioneers of that neighborhood, dude. They were the first. That neighborhood was like just begun, dude.
Oh, wow.
It was like going to like all the way out towards like Woodridge, you know, where they're just like it just the eventually you know it's just nothing but kind of like
Indian Trail desert. Wasn't even there, bro.
It wasn't. No, not at all. Indian Trail or Woodridge area of Spokane, yeah, wasn't there yet.
All trees.
Yeah, at that point, that was one of the nicest houses in Spokane, actually, dude.
Oh, wow. His house.
His house, yeah. So it's like they were living in the nicest suburb of Spokane at the time when they came here as royalty.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, that neighborhood started to, like, grow, and that's when my parents came in shortly after, 5 years later, and ended up making a connection with them. And there were, like, two royals from Europe who, like, had no children. And they took me right in, dude, when I was born.
Nice.
It's cool because, like, I mean, representing a Judeo-Christian flavor on the show is, like, totally apropos to, like, Vlad the Impaler, Count Dracula, dude.
I don't want to ignore your white privilege, though.
What do you mean? Of being, like, connected to royalty or
you
something?
You weren't an orphan.
No. No. But I still have that, like, right and connection through, you know, Doc Haggadis.
Cool.
You know? But that ultimately is, like, I feel like a positive thing for what we're doing. Yeah, because not too many people have that, like, distinguished, you know, honor to be connected to somebody like Count Dracula. You know, really, because that's, like, literally the lineage of people. And, like, but if you think about it, that's where we're, like, you and me, we were met as neighbors to Doc Haggadis, you know? Because he was, like, he was still alive when you were there, dude. Yeah. Like, living right behind you. But none of this stuff was, like, known. That we had, like, a distinguished kind of individual like him, dude. I mean, he was evil, but at the same time, like, he was...
He had some good points.
Yeah, exactly. He did. And that's why I just, like, we can't deny that, you know? And he also had, like, that lineage, you know? It's like, it makes me wonder, like, why was the VA hospital bring somebody of that kind of caliber to our, you know, to work on our troops, our heroes, our military, you know? It just shows that there's, I don't know if that was maybe the wisest idea.
What?
To have the VA hospital have somebody of the credentials and caliber of Doc Hagedis, like, working
maybe
on...
Maybe not the strongest thing.
I don't think it was the wisest decision. No offense to Doc Hagedis, I love my grandfather as he was my mentor, you know? But at the same time, I'm like, I'm questioning the motives of the government here. Of the, you know, it just says that to me, like, Doc Hagedis had more power than them.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well.
Because he was doing the mad scientist stuff. I think he was involved in the mad scientist.
Where's the levers? What do we desire to know now about Dr. Hagedis?
Well, I think we know all we need to know. All we know is that we're connected to this guy. Because we were his neighbors at the time, and that's how you and I met.
Yeah.
It was right at that time, dude. Yeah. Like, when we were both his neighbors at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I really think that, like, it has a lot to do with our calling. Because I think Doc Hagedis is alive beyond the grave right now. Because he had the knowledge to live forever. Whether he's a disembodied spirit or what, I don't know. But he's very concerned on how I'm going to turn out. And in you being my neighbor, obviously he's interested in you. Knowing that you were his neighbor... And that we became friends? Not just friends, we became best friends, dude. Actually.
Yeah.
You know, you were living with us.
Indeed.
Like, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he's definitely concerned about both of what we're doing. If he can influence in any way, shape, or form, I guarantee you he is from beyond the grave. And that's why this podcast is a declaration of... some crazy Illuminati shit.
We had a long stretch where we didn't talk, but we still, even after all these years...
And yeah, with the accident and everything.
Everything we've both been through.
Yep.
We're still at it.
And I think it's because of, like, of all... of our connection, dude. Like, you and I are special, dude. And I remember you telling me that we were special. I remember you saying that. And this was even at a time where I didn't even remember about my connection to Dr. Hagedis. It, like, slipped my mind. I, like, forgot about him after he died to a degree. Oh. That was a mistake. That was a mistake, dude. Because I wasn't following the path that he had, like, set before me.
So what did I say?
What's that?
What did I say?
You said that you believed that you were chosen of God.
Oh.
Or something along those lines, that you were of the chosen people.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like we are.
I just have so much humility now, being with my injury, having to deal with pissed off people and everything. I'm just humbled by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, God works in mysterious ways. You know, maybe, like, this is a blessing in disguise. You know? Really just don't know. Maybe it's, like, all to help you and that you'll be able to walk again and...
All I know is he's learning me something that I didn't know I needed to know. Or know what that is.
Well, you know, like I said, God works in mysterious ways, and I feel like what you told me a while back, where you believe that you were, when people make statements like that, I'm going to listen, because I want to find out if this person does have some kind of anointed quality. If they make a statement about themselves in that kind of respect, I want to find out if it's true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like the reason why you survived what you did, you know, is... I think it's...
Well, see here.
Yeah.
Kunter.
But I believe that there's a reason to that. And I think that it's like, because you are, like, you do have an anointed quality, and it all is interconnected with me and Doc Haggadis, and that we have something special to offer, you know, because of that, because we're actually, you know, affiliated with that echelon, you know, I feel like, and like I was saying earlier, like, to be able to represent Vlad the Impaler, like, he was a defender of Christianity, of Judeo-Christianity, and it's an honor, especially with all this stuff going on in Israel. He was a defender of Israel, too, by the way, in the Order of the Dragon.
Man, I don't even see a way out for Israel. Like, not only are they surrounded, they're hated.
Yeah,
they are. By the world, almost.
Yep. Yep.
They're Jews.
And what's really, it's what you know, I think is, like, supposed to happen, though. I think this is all destiny, and it's, you know, we're on the Judeo-Christian side of things.
And I think that God is going to do something. Jesus is going to do something. Jesus,
it might be the
is
time.
Going to come back, and then the Jews will know.
Hopefully so, man. I hope so. I think that this is the time it very well could happen, man, because things have just escalated to a degree that is just unsurpassed. And... yeah, it's a sketchy time. Feeling good.
Woo-hoo! Not on coke. Not on drugs. Low weed and the beers.
Yep. It's having a good time. Felt like we did a good job on that last podcast. Actually, as an informative podcast. But just like Doc Haggadis, man, he was on the down low. He never knew that he was who he was. That's what we're trying to be.
Oh, that's the thing. I wanted to say that is also like the 007 thing.
Yeah, it's like you want to be on the down low.
Yeah.
Yeah, 007. It's the down low. And that's really what we want to be. It's like, really, we deserve to have a big podcast. We deserve to be acknowledged, I feel like, because of who we are, dude. You know?
Yeah.
You're like class of 2000, too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like the class of 2000, I feel like, was one of the most...
Me too.
Yeah, it was like, there was, because it was 2000, it was like, we're the millennium class, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just feel that there was some greatness coming out of the class.
I feel like...
And we are part of that.
The millennial class is... a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, and when you think about the millennial class, you know, is also like the millennial reign of Christ. Could the millennial reign of Christ have anything to do with the millennial class? I think it does. I think it only makes natural, logical sense. If someone was 2,000 years thinking like about what the
the men and women of the future of 2000 would be, I think they would think like, oh, that class right there has got greatness in it. You know what I mean? The millennial class, like, you know, of 2000. Yeah. Are you going to say something?
I think that it's only certain people, though.
Well, yeah, it's not the whole people. Yeah, the group. Because, like the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament in the Bible, he says some are called the great and some are called the common. You know, and it's just, there's just dynamics in all kinds of respects of life. You know what I mean? There's professional league and there's Bush League. You know?
Uh-huh.
There's great people from the class of the millennial, you know, and there's not. There's people that are just common and out of that class. You know what I mean? But I feel that we have the evidence to back that we are connected to the distinguished group.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's not actually like a biased opinion. That's giving facts, you know, to bring that knowledge to light for people to see.
And absorb.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's all we're trying to do. We're just here on this podcast trying to be real as we can be, trying to connect with the people, trying to educate them, and be a positive voice. You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what we're doing. As transparent as can be, we're not reading teleprompters. Teleprompters are called fake news. You hear about this fake news everywhere? Well, it's because people are reading teleprompters. And yeah, that's fake because these people that are reading those things aren't legit. They're not really speaking what they really feel. They're speaking something that is told to them.
Yeah, they don't really have a personal feeling about whatever they're talking about.
It's because they're probably mind-controlled, brainwashed, before they even get in that position. They've been through, suck so many dicks before they get to that spot. You know, it's just, what are you going to say? You know, suck so many dicks, so to speak. I don't know. I'm nobody, though, so I don't know anything, right? I don't have any connections to anybody that could be beneficial to me in my hour. Endeavors? Or do we? It might just be some of the evilest you could concoct or find. Doesn't really matter though. We're not looking or seeking ratings. We're just seeking to be a beneficial help out there. Trying to talk about crazy stuff. Entertain people.
Trying to bring their words.
Yeah, trying to encourage people with the word in the right direction. Do we care about having a million plays? Nope.
No.
We just did a billboard too.
Yeah.
It's still up.
Yeah.
It's a great billboard. It's very professional. You know? Is it affecting our plays? No. It doesn't matter, though, because we're still spreading the word. We're getting out there, you know?
For 3 or 4 listeners per week.
But you think about it. If people knew that we had some kind of credentials, maybe there'd be more people who want to listen to us.
Well, okay, here's my thought. If we do this long enough, people will eventually catch on to our credentials.
They could, yes. And they could, like, respect that and be like, yeah, actually, these guys are deserving to be heard.
And then the podcast goes up.
It very well could be that way. But hey, we're not seeking that. We're just average Joe podcasters out there. We're not trying to say like, oh, we're demanding some kind of special recognition.
No.
Not at all. We've been doing this for years, and we're just on the just remaining on the down low. We've had some pretty provocative stuff we've talked about. Stuff that we brought to light, and it came to pass. But it's just like, whatever. You know, it's just like, it just happened. We're continuing to keep going higher, you know? Right?
Yeah.
We're not sticking around with those former glories. We're rising from glory to glory. The Lord says in the Bible that He takes us from glory to glory. We're going from glory to glory up in here. Freaking Michelob Ultra Pure Gold Infusions.
Here is...
From glory to glory, gold to gold.
It's the most pure. I was gonna say, hey, this appears, but I don't think that's a word. For sure, the most pure, though.
When you look at this, it looks like gold to me. In the light, I'm seeing gold. Do you see gold? A gold reflection? A little bit. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be gold. I feel like I need another puff of this. Take a little break here. Because really, it doesn't matter about the ratings. Ratings can be manipulated, by the way. Stuff that the system, the beast, like we've mentioned so many times, is maybe, can influence stuff in a direction that looks
maybe bad. People aren't so fond of our movement.
What's that?
Maybe bad people aren't so fond of our movement.
Yeah. Never know, dude. I mean, the thing is to me is that I just ultimately think that they can suppress us if they want. They can suppress our voice. They can suppress our potentiality. And that's what I feel like we need to bring to light, because we need to come against that. If anybody's trying to suppress anybody from being who they deserve to be, that is wrong. For what?
No. Taking a little weed break.
Here, mid-podcast, weed break. Dang.
Chronic.
All you need is a little bit of a hit. And you're really good. I mean, think about living. We've literally been living in legal weed for the last 10 years, almost, here in Washington State. It's been great, because we're not being suppressed. God is allowing us here in Washington State to have the right to experience these things. Why has that happened for Washington State? Why have we been the first place? One of the first places, I guess you could say, along with Colorado.
Spokane.
Yeah. Particularly Spokane, because I'm going to tell you, Spokane is even better than Seattle. We got more weed stores here in Spokane than they got in Seattle. Yeah. At least downtown Seattle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we're actually doing better than they are there. We actually are bringing in more revenue. Because our area here caters more to drug people.
I call that Greenleaf Weed Place a lot, like three times a weekend.
Yeah, you're a valued customer.
They're always busy to the point that...
Oh, they for sure are, dude, yeah.
To the point that the message lady I love in the line, you know.
Yeah.
The car cannot be down, blah, blah, blah.
Well, because people are probably calling in, too, for, like orders and stuff.
She's like...
overwhelmed.
She's like, this person is not available right now. Goodbye.
Yeah, because it's just a popularity of it all. Yeah. Yeah, it's a super popularity. You have all different kinds of demographics of people coming into these places. It's insane. But why? It's because I believe God has allowed us to be one of the first places to experiment in this legalization process, and I feel like it's been more than advantageous to our state.
I feel like
and world, that's why God allowed it to.
I feel like the world is on a picture this. Picture a triangle.
Yeah.
Going up and then going down.
Yeah.
And I don't believe we've reached the peak of going up yet.
Well, hopefully we can get it up and then not fall down.
Well, I believe there's a peak engagement that happens where a crash comes back.
Ah, okay.
And then the one is gone.
Yep.
Branches off.
Yeah.
And everyone else is with Christ.
Yeah, it's the millennial reign. We've been talking about that, actually. The millennial class. That's the millennial... and what you're talking about is the millennial reign. Where Christ does come back and he establishes his truth on earth for a time. For a season.
Wouldn't that be some shit if he came back to Spokane?
Or just this world right now. In the situation that it's in. When we're talking about everything that's going on in Israel and stuff. In the last podcast. And how we're identifying as that we are Judeo-Christians. We are for Israel. We're for the protection of that place. However, we believe as well that like... there is a new Jerusalem that is not going to be in that location any longer. And God is going to reestablish a new Jerusalem somewhere.
Do you believe that Jesus will come back to Jerusalem first?
I don't think he's coming back to Jerusalem. I think he's coming back to the new Jerusalem. And when he comes back there, to that spot, like that is when the 1,000-year reign is going to begin. And then after the 1,000-year reign...
Okay, so that's the peak I'm talking about.
I think it is, yes. I think you've actually seen something here. Yeah. Having a revelation potentially revealed to you. Yeah. Potentially on this podcast. Is this something you just recently came to a knowledge of?
Yeah.
It's like right now?
Yeah.
Wow. See, that's good stuff. That's good podcast stuff right there, dude. Like, yeah, I mean, I think that... we're seeing something here. You know, it's really is. It's like this 1,000-year... and we're talking about how we are of the millennial class. And how I believe that the millennial class might potentially have some of the chosen people of God in it. Because that is the time of, like... according to Judaic law, 18, I believe, is the age where you are, in the eyes of God, you are, like... a man. So it's like right around that time where we graduate from high school in our class, like you are like started to be held accountable. Like before I graduated, I was 18, so just like I was like already there, dude. Like God's like, right after I turn 18, had crazy visions from God, like in the spring right before graduation. And I believe that it was just like we were like the chosen people. Like this was a chosen, I feel like we were, dude. I really do. And you were 20. You turned 18 before, way before you graduated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, I knew a guy that was the same. That was born at the same month that you were, actually, in 81. Because you're 81, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're 82?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, so there is that difference there, but ultimately it doesn't matter. We were still destined for the class of 2000.
Mike's lucky it's like a year younger than me, too.
When's his birthday?
April, I think.
Oh, yeah? So he's even a little bit younger than me.
Yeah.
It's by a couple months. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like talking about all this kind of stuff because I think all this kind of stuff is, it all factors in, man. We're making it, it's coming to light. You know, like who we are, and we're just trying to figure out who we are and how we fit into this reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's really what we're trying to do. And then if we need to present something, we need to represent something well or do something good, we need to do that. You know, it's like we don't want to hesitate on that because that's ultimately going to pay dividends for us.
Yeah.
Like if we got an opportunity to be a voice, you know, of truth or a voice of authority. What's it?
Be something.
Yeah, it's like you got to take advantage of that. You can't shy away from that. You know what I mean? Exactly. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Because what else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do? Yeah, it's like, are you gonna shy away from the spotlight? Or are you going to embrace it and do your best? And that's all what I feel like we have an opportunity to do.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe not right now. It's not apparent right now. But it's like, we don't look at that kind of reality. We continue to grind out. Continue to keep up. Going up the pyramid, you know, like you're saying, you know, like going up that pyramid.
Yeah.
You know, like we're trying to get to the top, and what is the top? It's the millennial reign of Christ, when Christ comes back and he's like, establishes, you know.
Reign.
Yep. But then after his reign, like then he's going to be attacked again. That's what it says. There's going to be another attack. For the enemy, like the enemy's gonna rise up and he's gonna attack Jesus' message and he's gonna try to fucking say like, no, this is a bunch of bullshit. And then that's when it's over.
Maybe that's the
Civil War?
Oh my gosh.
The Civil War?
What's about if there's a World Civil War?
I think that's what it would be. That would be the World Civil War, dude,
Between believers and non-believers.
That would be the ultimate apparentness of who everybody was and what side they're officially on. Yes.
God versus devil.
Yep, it really is. It's like, that is the official spot. Right now, there might be still some kind of gray area for people to maybe make a decision for the right and come out of the wrong. I mean, yes, I think that's very plausible. I don't want to, you know, be a bearer of bad news to anybody, you know, like if I don't have to be, but yeah, I definitely hope that there's a chance for anybody, any souls, man, like for sure. Like yeah. you can't not wish to, like, oh no, I would wish that God would not allow that soul.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's like right now, it's like you can't have that kind of momentum. That guy, no way. God better not let that guy.
Not the fat one.
Not too many fat ones, Lord. Because you never know, those people like lose weight in the New Jerusalem or whatever, and then you're like, whoa, like that's a prospect, you know?
Skinny again today, how's it going?
Dude, have you seen that stuff when you, like, women, like, lose all the weight and then it's like they look like completely different, like beautiful when they're skinny? It's just like, you can't deny it, dude. You can't deny it.
That's how every woman will be in the New Jersey.
I would imagine so, yeah. So it's just like you really can't, like, sit like, don't let the fat ones in. The fat ones might end up being the cutest. You know, you never know. Oh, man, dude, that's just getting crazy. Too crazy out there for us. Post coverage. Hanging out.
Back again for some late night
action.
Action.
Indeed, we are. Hanging out. We didn't have really anything to say. Or do we?
Huh?
You never know.
Or what?
expectations. Maybe to hang out with people like Riley and I might be just what you want to do. It's kind of like driving an Uber car. It's like, I want a really nice one.
But an even nicer Uber driver.
Maybe. What are you looking for, like you're saying? What are you expecting? What are your expectations to listen to us? Maybe us, our discourse right now is right up your alley. Who knows?
Could we?
Or maybe we're just fucking with your mind. Either way, somebody's getting something from it.
Just a couple of middle-aged white boys.
White privileged white boys.
White privilege.
You think what?
Well, I think you have a little more privilege than I do.
I don't know. I think we're all of the same stock, actually, like we've mentioned. Like we've been talking about.
Well,
we're really all. Maybe I might be a little bit more. There might be a little advantage on me, but I mean, ultimately, I think that like we're actually both representing. Let's just keep it at that. I think we're both representing. I think we know other people that are representing too. We've talked about them. We don't need to get into them, but at the end of the day, like, we're representing, and that's all that matters. And that's what we need to focus on.
Representing what again?
Or representing distinguished titles of who we are. We don't want to talk about, I mean, do we really want to do a podcast where we're, like, constantly, like, bragging upon who we are and our connections to certain people, of this and that? Like, no. We just want to enlighten people. We don't need to brag. We're trying to bring forth knowledge. That's why we have an archive of podcasts that we're trying to do. You know, we're trying to, like, just bring lots of information to the table, lots of different perspective. Not about who we are, that we're special or anything.
Our archive is vast.
It's a vast archive, indeed. Yeah. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to build a vast archive of knowledge for people to enjoy for millennial to come. Millennium to come.
Millennium come?
The mold of millennium, at least, you know, like Christ's reign, like we're talking about. We're talking about Christ reigning for the 1,000 years, and I don't think it's a literal 1,000 years. I think it's just going to be a day. The millennial reign is going to be nothing more than a day. A day of Christ ruling and reigning and being acknowledged. And that's when it's just like, then the Satan's going to attack him and slander him.
Well, what does the word
what's that?
He came in the dark of night or the flicker of day, what the words?
Well, it does say that, you know, like, he will come like a thief in the night, yes.
Oh, yeah, thief in the night.
Yeah, but it'll be at an unsuspecting hour. It does say that. And then he will declare God's judgment, and then the judgment will come, and then, you know, he will say it's finished, and then that's a 1,000-year reign for a day. And then Satan's going to, like, attack him, like, probably all the media outlets will, like, attack him and slander him, but, like, they will be shut down for whatever reason, because like he's speaking the truth.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's what like has to be acknowledged, that what unfortunately this person that people didn't like or whatever, for whatever reason, like he was proclaiming God, and you know, they didn't want to acknowledge it, but it doesn't matter because it's true, and then they're gonna have to deal with that. That's really how I see it as being. And then that's when, like, the final judgment will
come in.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's going to be something along those lines. I don't think Jesus is going to get much glory. He's not going to get 1,000 years of glory on Earth. Not in this kind of a system, he's not. He'll get, like, 15 seconds, and then it's just like, what if 15 seconds of, like we're talking about, where all the screens go black. It's going to be, like, a significant event, but he's only going to get a small percentage of glory, because Satan will only allow him, like, a little bit of glory. You know what I mean? And then he's got to, like, take his stand and counteract, like he always does, you know what I mean? It's going to be something along those lines. He's not going to allow... The only time Jesus or God is going to get any glory on Earth is when, like, the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven like a lowrider with hydraulics. Okay, bumping all the way up and then down, you know, and then dump bumping up. I've literally seen cars with hydraulics that go 10 feet in the air, dude. It's the most craziest shit you've ever seen in your life. It's like you watch this lowrider car like descending out of the sky, 10 feet in the air, dude. It reminds me of the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And that's really what we're talking about. We don't have anything to say.
Nothing that important.
There's nothing really that we haven't already talked about that we are going to be talking about right now. That is,
but we're here for the same reason you are, because we're wondering what we're going to say next.
Just like you are. Just like you're wondering what we're going to say. Because we are a voice of reason. We're a voice of truth. And that's why you're here. It doesn't matter what we have to say.
Unheard voice for the most part. But if you're a part of it, then you know. Then you're of the...
Privileged.
Yeah.
Yeah, because ultimately people who identify people as somebodies want to listen to them. What are these people's perspective of life? What do they have to talk about at this point in time, right?
Yeah.
It's really not what we're... Once again, we're not trying to promote ourselves, like, at all. Literally, we've got a vast knowledge of podcasts that don't talk anything about glorifying ourselves or promoting ourselves at all. It's literally to edify the people, and that's really what we're trying to be. We just want to edify the people, you know, and our knowledge, and trying to help them understand certain situations. See certain perspectives in a certain way.
That maybe we're not fully knowledgeable about, but we're on the right track.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Even if you're trying to direct people in a certain proper perspective, it doesn't necessarily matter if your facts are completely, fully 100% straight sometimes.
It doesn't.
No. As long as you have the right intention and the right purpose of why we're doing what we're doing, I feel like what we're doing on this podcast from the beginning was all supposed to happen.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that you could really have anything to say or do about. Like, anybody. Like, it was going to begin and do what it needs to accomplish. It's going to go in the direction it needs to accomplish.
And sadly, it most likely has an end date.
I don't know. Why would you think that?
It doesn't have to, I guess.
I wouldn't think so. People would logically think that there was an end to everything. But is that really true?
Living
because of the times we're living in. Yeah. See, and that's really what I think it's... that's really like a potential attitude of... doubt, you might say. Like, you might be doubting. You might have some... there's a glimpse of doubt in your mind about things. I look at that as well. You know, when I look at the direction of the way things are going, there's a perspective of cynicism and pessimism in how you could perceive the future, and it could therefore breed seeds of doubt in you and thinking, oh, this is going to end soon, or I'm going to die soon, or the world isn't ever going to end. It's
reminds me of a Suicide Machines album.
Okay. What does it say?
Oh, just beginning with the songs was kind of like we just said.
Okay, with that same kind of concept? Yeah, so anything talking about suicide is going to be representing an attitude and vibe of cynicism and pessimism. It's that, like a pessimism.
They put on like a news anchor and he's like, there's pessimism and the skepticism and whatever is no more. Whatever he says, I forget.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, I see exactly what he's talking about, and then that's what it is. It's like you can naturally put those kind of things together, where it's like that's what they're really talking about, you know? I mean, and we're trying not to be that way. We don't want to bring that kind of a vibe or, you know, air to our
podcast. Not in close. Fast off kind of direction.
Close fenced off. Yeah, I just think that it's just not really something we don't ever want to be promoting people in that kind of a direction. Uh-huh. What happened to the music?
I moved the phone.
I was like, something happened. Yeah, we lost the tunes.
It was quiet. It was quiet for a minute.
It was a time of serious contemplation and introspection.
We needed a couple seconds. A
couple seconds to get our bearings.
In a bit.
Well, it is a third podcast episode. So we are, we've been hitting it, burning the midnight oil now.
I could probably podcast about once every 2 hours if we were going to go all
night. All night?
Nuts.
Yeah. You need the little break in the action and then get back after it, you think? No? What?
I'm just saying if we were to the point where we were doing episodes every day.
Yeah?
I could go 2 to 5 hours in between sessions.
Okay. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's probably pretty fair enough.
Man, the lot of them tonight.
Scrum.